She will give us her recollections of the early days on the State Road area of farms south of Vulcan, Michigan, and south of Loretto, Michigan. The area was made up of several farmers from different ethnic backgrounds. Mrs. Varda is the former Violet Mellon, daughter of pioneer residents of the area. Would you please give me some early impressions of life on the farm in the Vulcan, Michigan area back around the turn of the century?
Well, we lived in a log house built out of logs and chinks and with plaster in between to keep the cold out. And it was about six rooms. My family, I was the eldest of eight children.
Was it a two-story home or one-story?
Stories. It was an upstairs in it. All in one room, though. There was four or five rooms downstairs. And, of course, we had the wood-burning stoves and the kitchen range that never went out. The food was average, or maybe even I could say good, because we had chickens and our own beef and eggs and all that. So that was good. Always had a big vegetable garden. Picked wild raspberries by the water pail, and all different cherries and stuff like that. Did a lot of canning. Social life was pretty good. We went around to houses and had parties and dances and two or three picnics every summer, and everybody turned out. All these school programs at Christmas, and everybody came to that, and everybody enjoyed it. So we enjoyed all that. My father, that might be of interest, my father bought the first ice cream freezer on State Road and made ice cream and treated everybody. An eight quart freezer.
What year was that?
I wouldn't know. Probably about 1900. I wouldn't say for sure, though. They were new then. They were just out. I can remember the first talking machine.
Victrola?
You know the advertisement that says it's an Astor's voice? It was an Edison, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And some man brought that down to the school. That was the first talking machine that we heard. So, of course, we were amazed and delighted with that. And for not too long after that, then the first car appeared. That was Abel Miller. I had told you that. He had the first car on State Road. And then Grandpa Varda, I guess, the second. So, life was hard, and everybody had to work hard, but we had our enjoyment, the same as we do today.
Do you remember when the Vardas moved there?
Do I remember? Oh, yes. I can remember my father coming home from town and saying, "We're getting new neighbors." And right away, of course, everybody wanted to know the name. And he said, "I think it's Bird, or Birdie." He had the V part right, but that was about all. So then later, a few days later, they came down, you know, wagon load of furniture and stuff for the kids all, and settled there. Not where they live today, down here where Giuliani's live now. There was an old vacant house on the hill there that a Mr. Rice used to live in. And they moved away and they took over there for a little while until they could get some buildings up where the farm is now. So it was hard for them. They were only there a couple of years and Grandpa Varga broke his leg. A falling tree fell on him and broke his leg, so he was laid up for a long time. But they finally got the house built, or did a lot of lumbering and working in the woods. Yeah.
Did they work in the mines also?
He worked in the mine, yes, and your dad worked in the mine, in the Loretta mine, in the Briar Hill mine here in Norway for many years, till Ford came. And I don't even remember how long he worked for Ford, I think about 35 years. And then you remember when he worked for Tico and at Niagara later, until he retired. They had a lot of cattle, and usually always out of hay before spring, so they cut every bit they possibly could. She would go up there at Mud Hill Marsh or, along with the men and help them cut. They were used to that from the old country. See, they always did that over there. They had to. So that helped out quite a bit because there was a lot of hay along there, along the where it was wet. Yeah. And the meals she used to cook, great big kettle full of rice and chicken. And yeah. She was a good cook. Of course, then later the girls had to step in and help.
Were all of the children home, all 12 children home at the same time, or were some married?
Well, no. Dad was one of the first to go almost. John and Tressa were married, and Katie. But then Jim and Phil had to leave for the war. They had to go to France. So they married later than when they came back, see. But Dad and I married at that time. The war was pretty tough. He had gone from home already. He was working away. And we decided to get married. And then Jim and Phil married later, the two Van Driessen girls.
What were the roads like back in those days?
Well, they weren't very good. We got around in the winter with a logging sleigh and pulled by a team. And town visits were few, maybe once a month or so just to get provisions, that's all. And the same almost in the summer, of course, a wagon then. My dad used to go to town about once a month, and there was no mail those days. He used to mail what we got, which wasn't too much, just piled up, and he'd bring it home, whatever there was in that interval. So I can remember, yes, he had a box built on the front of his wagon box that had a hinge cover, and the mail and the provisions were in that box. It was a big, long box and that when he would be bringing it home. We didn't even have a buggy then, and then them early days. Later on we did, we got a top buggy. But we didn't have a then. Most of the neighbors did though. Yeah.
Where did you get your water?
They had a well. Sometimes we had trouble and it would go dry, but they dig it deeper and then that helped. So that's what they're using today. Yeah. Riders had a lot of trouble getting water because they were on top of that hill, see? And they had trouble with water. They had to haul lots of times with a stone boat and a barrel from the creek for washing and that. The cattle, of course, was always turned into the field and could drink from the creek right there, see? So that took care of that. Yeah. Oh, it wasn't easy. But we survived. We survived, anyway. Yeah.
Do you remember when you were cutting the big timber?
Oh yes, I remember that. Monstrous trees. Bayshore Lumber Company came in and cleaned everything out all around us. Of course, my dad and the partners and all the neighbors lumbered in the winter time, you know. And I had hired men to help. My dad had a couple of hired men all the time during the winter to help with the lumbering, you know.
How did they move the logs?
Huh?
How did they move the logs?
Oh, all over the team on a logging freight. Yeah, great big high loads. Yeah.
Where did they take the logs then?
Huh?
Where did they take the logs?
Well, Niagara Mill, from the time I remember. I don't know really when Niagara Mill came in there, but they were all there as far as I know. I do think though that some were shipped by car, by train. I think so. A lot of lumber went out of here. Yeah.
Do you remember the forest fires too?
Yes, I remember the forest fires. I can remember a forest fire sweeping between us and Vargas, right along the path where that little creek was. But they watched it and water and shovels stamped it out and it went on. There was no damage. But there was a lot of forest fires that kept us in fear all the time and everybody short of water. I can remember going down to a little creek down on the other side of the road from Ed's house now and carrying a couple of water pails of water up that hill every quite often as I could. So we'd have a little bit of surplus in barrels. And of course I was the oldest, so I had to step in all I could. I can remember getting on the hay loads and building the loads for my dad. He'd toss it up, see, and I had to space it around as best I could to even it off. I can also remember leading the horse when he was cultivating in the garden. And all that. But you see, I was 4 years older than my oldest brother, so I had to help there for a while until he got a little older. Well, and then my mother never was very well. I made it hard too. old man used to go around selling fish. I guess even tinned meats and that too. And my dad bought some. He was working at the Surgeon Falls power plant at the time. He bought some and it was put in his pail for dinner and it was poisoned to me. And shortly after he ate the noon meal, he got sick. And they got him home, somebody brought him home, because otherwise he had to walk up and down, you know. And they brought him home, and they got the doctor, and he started asking questions, and he said, oh, it's something he's ate, and oh, what did he have? So I can remember answering, because my mother was sick in bed at the time, telling him, oh, fish, ptomaine. He got out of the track of it right away. He stayed with him all night. And we didn't think he'd make it, but he did. He gave him a laxative, and he said that I think he'll be all right. So he got over it, but not entirely for a long time. His intestines and stomach was burnt from the poison, see. But he finally got all right. So, but he said it's a violent poison and dangerous. Yeah.
What was the school like back in those days?
Well, it was rough. It was 8 grades in one room, so you can imagine. The teacher was hearing somebody recite all the time. And how we got anything in our heads, I don't know, because that was distracting. See, just listening to her questioning and... But, a box stove heated it. The teacher would come early in the morning and get a big log in and get the fire going, and it was always nice and warm by the time we got there by 8:30. But of course it was a mile walk to get there and a mile home again at night. So that wasn't easy, especially in the winter. But we had our games, and there must have been about, 35 or 40 kids maybe in the school. Everybody had big families, and there was about, well, to begin with, there was about, 4 or 5 families, and then of course later, quite a few more in the later years. I finished when I was 14, finished 8th grade. And the name of the teacher is Norway. Sarah Reef, the eldest Reese child, was my first teacher. Her sister was second. Then after that, I don't know in what order they came, but a girl from Norway by the name of Rose Bush was my teacher. And I think that's about all that I had, because the Reese girls taught several years, each of them. And then later that little school was torn down and another one was built down near Juliet. Remember that. And, of course, I never went there. I was Sue by then. So, yeah. The Reese family came from Canada, near Ontario. They had several children when they came there. They were when we went to the farm. They were already there. They were one of the, well, I guess they were the first on the road. And then the Ralph Barkers and the Richard Underwood and Alec Duncan, all from Canada. In my mind, I'm they were there, by the on down the road.
Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine?
The Greeks were our first neighbors. That would be before Rogers or Valerius came there. We lived, well, close to a mile, I think, from us. So it was pretty lonely sometimes. And I can remember one winter, when it was only Greeks for neighbors then yet. My dad going away to a camp to cook for the winter, and my mother and we, us kids, were at a fend for ourselves. There ain't no doubt, no one's and I always remember this, even though I didn't know how scared we got one night. He had a dog, and he started scratching himself, and we thought there was somebody knocking at the door. And I can see my mother yet, how white she got. She was so scared. And she entered the door, and there was nobody there. And then it dawned on us what it was. It was the dog, Jackie.
Can't you just feel the moonshine? Did you see many strangers in those days?
Not too many. Once in a while, a peddler would come. And that was an occasion. Once in a while, you would always have a suitcase or maybe two, and be selling clothing. There was one old man that used to show up quite regularly, and he'd say, "Oh, cheap, cheap, everything is cheap, cheap." So when we see him coming, we'd say, "Well, here's cheap, cheap." Oh, dear.
Did you buy things from the Sears and Roebuck Company back in those days?
Oh, everything. We out in order whenever we got some money, and stuff bad and a lot of went to Sears. Yes, always. Well, in fact, Dad and I sent for all our wedding stuff. We sent for all our furniture. We didn't buy it here. We ordered it. In fact, a pair of bedclothes we never did get. The war was on, see, you weren't sure what you were going to get. Can't you see the sunshine? The Davenport and the table and the chairs and a lot of stuff. Get away from us. You hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone to Carolina. In spite of all the truth, my mind.
Did you used to eat a lot of wild game when you lived on the farm, or did you eat beef mostly?
Oh, yes. The boys used to share rabbits. They used to have rabbits, I guess. And they always got partridge. And, of course, deer.
Yeah. How about fish?
Huh?
How about fish?
Oh, not so much. They weren't pork or... It was kind of far to go to begin with, see, and to get there, you know, we didn't fish so much, but we used to buy quite a bit. Then we used to buy a country, a whole country. That's what we buy. All the dried, you know, and great winter. Okay. days, anything tastes pretty good, even when we were hungry. And drinking, we drink about 6 days old, a red, white, blue, and a cake practically every day. I didn't see my dad yet, but one day he was eating early in order to get to work to him and walk. And he would put away a great big piece of cake and he built fat cake, he said. I don't know what it was, he was burnt, I guess. Well, that's good, that's good. I think he just needed to get a word of pain from dad or something. He wasn't very nice.
Can you tell me where Grandpa Varda worked in the mines and how he ended up coming here?
He invaded the war with us. I went to Africa, worked in the diamond mines with a companion, Jim McGay. And when the war clouds cleared, he left there. I think he was there a couple of years, or maybe more. He left there and he came over here. They intended to come to America all alone. But he couldn't come alone. They wanted her to wait. They already had the first son. So when they told she came over here, with her sister and brother-in-law, I think, and Dr. Walton. Because I remember her laughing and saying it was hard for her. She couldn't understand English, but, you know. And she said something about getting off of the train and wanting to be in Boston. And the conductor said to her, East Boston or West Boston? Or somebody asked her that, and she didn't know what they meant by that. She used to always tell that story. He realizes that he was the machine. What did you do at Christmas time? What did you do at Christmas time? Oh, we always bring a big thing of chicken. Always. If you never had candy all year, we had a big Christmas. Always. We always had an ice cream, and we always tinned it a few water things, and the rest was homemade, or like a kid's made in school or something. And my mother used to save all the bags and have them ready. Each one had a bag with so much candy in, and so many nuts. And I got on to them, and there was no Santa Claus, and that meant what I had me help, see. And each one had their bag, and each one had their name on. Yeah. And we always had a couple of big fat chickens, and we always had a plum pudding. My dad was used to that, that was Canadian dish, a boiled plum pudding. The pudding went on right after breakfast and was done by dinner time. So